Welcome to One Poem Only. I'm Maggie Devers. On Sundays, we do things a little differently. Instead of just one poem, today I'll read all the poems from the past week. A quiet recap, a second listen, or maybe a first chance to catch what you missed. And at the end, I'll share one new poem to carry us into the week ahead. So settle in, and let's revisit this week in verse. And then, something fresh to close. From a home to a house. From the place where comfort was found and people meant happiness and laughter. From the lazy and cozy mornings and chattering and cheery evenings. From those late night family games and gossips because tomorrow's a holiday. What a bliss. To the place where comfort is only sought, where people mean suffocation. To busy and chilly dawns and gloomy and exhausting dusks. To these late-night family dramas and decisions, because tomorrow's a holiday, what the hell? Yeah, I wanted to grow, and so I have. But I didn't want to travel, from a carefree, loud childhood to a responsible, silent adolescence. From a home to a house. Take me back to the delightful hours in the sunlit veranda. Take me back to the chaos of the crowded kitchen. Take me back, for once, just once, to my home. By Gunit Kaur Bhamra. For the Pines. I've known the paralyzing anguish of the dark nights of soul, when the gleaming edge of a blade glints like a glittering savior. I've been in cave-pitch blindness. I've wondered in a world of 8 billion how loneliness could ever put down roots. In despair, I found communion with mosquitoes and loons, black bears and ravens, and every phase of the moon. With sparkling stars, acting a scene and trees, all of them, especially the pine, with drooping boughs and bleeding sap. Somehow, even when the ash and sycamore have sunk into winter desolation, bowed low by loads of winter snow, the pine holds the hope, keeps the needles, to weave a haven for winter wayfarers. How much grief have they swallowed for us, just by being with us in winter? By Amanda Galeotti. The Miseducation. How the Sugar Cane Remembers Us. They told us the cane was sweet, that sugar was a gift, never whispering of century-long bones ground into their stalks. My great-grandmother spoke truth in drum and smoke, their hands weaving rivers of power, the earth crowning them healers. Still, the priests named them devils. Still, their altars were burned. Yet Atabe whispers now, mother of waters, womb of hurricanes. Even though classrooms replaced her with Eve, teaching us paradise was theirs to grant. And the textbooks? They too crowned Columbus king, while Taino caciques were reduced to whispers, bent beneath English mouths. Though I hear them thunder in the veins of the mountains. They branded Nani a rebel, never queen, never general. Her rifle smoke the incense of our freedom, her blood still a covenant in the hills. We recited Wordsworth and Shakespeare, while my forebearers' chants were sealed beneath the tongue of shame. The cane field was painted as industry, never cemetery. Each stalk a headstone that remembers. Each sweetness a silence imposed. The memories in the sugar cuts, in the tea, in the trade, in the wages. The miseducation echoes on. In every Jamaican child who does not know Atabe's name, Nani's fire, the cacique's crowns, my great-grandmother's drums. But the cane still hides fire in its stalk. We chew. We who see, we who feel, know. The sweetness burns. So now we'll spit and make the silence end. For this poem is a revolt. On blue mountain tops where ancestors still drum in trade winds. May the wind carry this chant. May we taste our truth in sugar cubes and remember our names. I offer it to their fire. By Leah D. Ellen. Today I'm reading a poem by E.E. Cummings that always puts me in the Christmas spirit and expresses the way I feel about Christmas trees better than I could myself. Little tree, little silent Christmas tree, you are so little. You are more like a flower. Who found you in the green forest? And were you very sorry to come away? See, I will comfort you, because you smell so sweetly. I will kiss your cool bark and hug you safe and tight, just as your mother would. Only don't be afraid. Look, the spangles that sleep all the year in a dark box, dreaming of being taken out and allowed to shine. The balls, the chains red and gold, the fluffy threads. Put up your little arms, and I'll give them all to you to hold. Every finger shall have its ring, and there won't be a single place dark or unhappy. Then, when you're quite dressed, you'll stand in the window for everyone to see, and how they'll stare. Oh, but you'll be very proud. And my little sister and I will take hands, and looking up at our beautiful tree, we'll sing, we'll dance, and sing, Noel, Noel. By E.E. Cummings. Silent Echoes. In the quiet descent of twilight's curtain, I stand, a solitary figure, uncertain. Lost within the shifting hues of fading light, I navigate the spaces where solitude takes flight. Threads of connection, delicate and fine, a tapestry woven with the hands of time. Moments form a mosaic, a complex array. Each fragment a story, in the shadows they sway. Silent whispers linger in the vast expanse. Shadows dance in a ghostly, transient trance. Invisible threads weave a spectral embrace, a tapestry of solitude, woven with grace. Longing for touch in the silence profound, exploring realms where solitude is found. Laughter, a distant echo in the quiet air, navigating the chambers of introspective lair. A dance with sorrow, an intimate ballet, in the moonlit theater where emotions play. Yearning for pain, an unconventional plea, to delve into depths, to just be free. No rhythmic pulse guides this introspective stroll, just the current of feelings, an unfolding scroll. In the canvas where shadows gently persist, I paint my essence, an unspoken twist. By Zara. Return to light. The longest night exhales, and somewhere beneath the frost a seed remembers warmth. I walk through fields where shadows thin like old thoughts, each breath a small sunrise. Inside me, the dark softens, becomes room for light again. By Gordon Strewitch. Her name. Her name is not the Venus of Willendorf, but she will answer to it. Her name exists in another tongue we no longer know, a language that came before Venus. I imagine her name meant bounty, her name meant overflow. Her name meant life. Scholars say she shows us the ideal of ancient beauty, but I see woman, and the weight she holds in her hips outlives her carver, outlives the rock, outlives mountains, to find us and fill us with her form.
Thank you for listening, poetry lover. Come back tomorrow. The curtain rises again.